Hi, and welcome to the Vine Community Church podcast. We hope that what you're about to hear will help you to flourish in God's grace and bear fruit through loving God, loving each other, and loving our community.
What a story. You know, this whole book of Ruth is a historical look of how God redeems us and keeps his promises, even through a time of suffering. This chapter sounds a little crazy, but it's actually a love story. It's a love story about our God and how he loves us. You know, it's through this book, it's through the Bible that God reveals who he is to us. He reveals his character to us. It's through this book that he gives us purpose and significance into our lives. I'm Mark Pugh. I'm pastor of outreach and operations here at the Vine, and I'm really happy to be able to share with you guys from the book of Ruth this morning. Let's bow our heads. Lord, open up our ears. Lord, open up our minds and our hearts to this text, Lord. Help us with the spirit of truth to cut through any lies that we've been telling ourselves or that we hear that are not from you. Help us to apply this text, Lord. Speak what you want us to hear. Lord, help us to know that we need a redeemer today. It's in your wonderful son's name we pray. Amen. So if you guys would, go ahead and open up the Bibles to chapter 3, Ruth 3. That's where we're at. We're in the fourth sermon of a six sermon series. And the whole time we're really talking about how God is a God of redemption, that he redeems us. The first three sermons, we've learned several things, that this takes place during the time of Judges. And during that time, the Israelites, they were pretty unfaithful people. They were consistently disobeying God and not trusting him. And then at the very beginning of this book, we see Naomi, one of the main characters, and her husband. They leave. They take their two boys from Israel. They leave God. They leave. They don't trust God to protect them through a famine, and so they go to this land called Moab. And then tragedy happens, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, he dies. They have two sons. The two sons marry Moabite women, and that's not a good thing because they're not supposed to intermarry with faith. And then the two sons, they die. This is a terrible tragedy. The women are left with no children. There's no lineage. There's not many great options, and they got to make some decisions. And so Naomi says, I'm going to return to God. I'm going to go back to my people. I'm going back to Bethlehem. And she talks to her two daughter-in-laws about this. And Orpah says, you know what? It's not for me. I'm going to stay here. But Ruth, she kind of famously says to Naomi, I'm going to cling to you. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. You know, we learned a couple other things. We learned this key term called kinsman redeemer. And we see in this story that Boaz is Naomi and Ruth's kinsman redeemer. He's a relative, and he may take care of them. He may support them. We also learned about a really important word, a Hebrew word called hesed. And a hesed is God's kindness. It's his steadfast love. It's his love, his covenant love for his people. And all this stuff is really important as we look at the background and prepare for chapter 3. So, you know, a lot of you guys, or maybe not, maybe a few of you guys know, I'm the baby of my family. Like, I'm the youngest of three. My sister is 10 and a half years older than me. My brother is 7.5 years older. And you might know me as a whoopsie. Like, I'm a oopsie baby. At least that's what my brothers and sisters told me. There are no whoopsies in the eyes of God, but that's what they told me. And there's just this famous photo of me when I was about 3 years old. I never really thought I would want this shared publicly, but there's a couple important things about it. So if you see it, I look pretty happy. I'm without worry. And the other thing that I think is important about this is that perhaps my sister, my older sister, really wanted a younger sister to dress up. So you go to the next photo, and I'm working. Okay, so now you can see I'm building a reputation. I'm building a reputation as a stud. I was putting all my efforts into having an approval and achievement through athletics. I can remember one time our basketball coach, he made people run if they didn't make good grades. And so some of my buddies were running, and one of them came by to me afterward, and he says, "Hey, Pew, why aren't you running?" And I remember thinking, yes, I've fooled them. I didn't want to be known as part of the smart kids club. That was not the reputation that I was looking for. You know, when we think about being a little guy, 3, 4, 5 years old, we're not worried about a reputation. Life's free. But then life comes in, and it starts getting in the way, and we start building up things in our heads and how we act to protect me. And I'm still doing this today. I mean, I'm afraid I'm still working on having a good reputation, that I'm forgetting that it's God who redeems my reputation. That's all on me, and it is tiring. So thankfully, this morning, as we look at our story in Ruth 3, we're going to see that it is God who redeems us, who redeems our reputation, and it's not us. So let's start with what's wrong with our reputations today? You know, one time when I was in seminary, one of my professors, he challenged us to take every thought captive. And I kind of snickered at that. I was like, yeah, is that really possible? Well, I'm an analyzer. I know 2 Corinthians 10 says to do that. But I'm like, how do you do that? But if you think about it, I think we all do this. We all, as we process things throughout the day, we're making decisions and comments back. And I think a lot of those decisions are based on our reputations. Our reputations that we're building or have been building since we were little guys. And this is a tiring, tiring exercise for us. And in just a minute, we're going to see this unfold a little bit in Ruth chapter 3. But before we get there, let's make sure we address why our reputation's important. And we see this in Scripture. We see this right away in Genesis chapter 1, where God says we're made in His image, that we have value, that we have dignity, that we're important to God, every one of us. And this is really important. And then you fast forward several books later, and we see in Proverbs, and in Proverbs 22, where King Solomon, he says that our reputation is more important than riches. Again, this is a big deal, because King Solomon, he is David, King David's wealthy, wealthy son. He is said to have been one of the wisest people in the world at the time. He had experienced everything and had everything, yet he still said that a good name is more valuable than riches. And then finally, we see why reputation matters, and that comes from Jesus when he talks to us in Matthew 5:16, and he says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your God, Father who is in heaven." It's clear our reputations matter. It's how people see God through us. Our reputations impact how people will receive the gospel. So as we think about our reputation, let's just make sure we're on the same page on what is a reputation. I went out and did a little homework on this. I pulled something from a really reliable source. It's called the internet. It was the first hit that I came up with, so I know it's good. It says, reputation equals the beliefs or opinions that are generally held about someone or something. So I think we can all think about, what does that mean to me? When I think of some things that I want people to think about when they think about me, what is that? Well, for me, it's that I'm valuable, that I'm productive, that I'm useful. So what does that do to me? It causes me to have this little timer that's going off in the back of my head that's always counting down. It's like a shot clock. I got to go. I got to do. I got to move off of this thing and do this next thing. And it destroys my ability to enjoy the moment. The moment that God has given me to enjoy it, it destroys it. And I know what the problem is, but I am really struggling to fix it on my own. So what about you? What is it that you're hoping people will see you as? Is it talented? Is it hardworking? Is it attractive? Is it successful? You know, I think this is the problem with our reputations today, we're not letting God redeem them. We're trying to build them up on ourselves. And a lot of times we're picking things that are just selfish. They're not giving us freedom and joy. And we see that a little bit when we look at Ruth and Naomi here. So let's look at verses 1 through 5. In here we see that Naomi, she seems to be building this plan to make her family be successful versus maybe glorifying God with it. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself. Put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies down. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. All that you say, I will do," says Ruth. From my research in verse 1, this word rest, it really means marriage. So Naomi is trying to get Ruth a husband. So here's her plan. "Okay, Ruth, I need you to go put on your nice outfit. Let's get dolled up tonight. Maybe put on a little perfume, something like Obsession or maybe that good stuff, The Rapture. Wear that. Okay, and then this guy, Boaz, let's wait till he's had a little bit to drink, some wine, he's a little bit merry, and then I want you to go uncover a little bit, get in there with him, and see what happens." What? This is a crazy story. I mean, this seems like something you'd watch on Netflix. She's telling him to wait till he's been drinking and then go get under the covers with him. My mama used to say, that's how you got a bad reputation. You know, it seems like here Naomi is not trusting the Lord. It's really similar to what she did when they left Israel the first time to avoid the famine. She's not trusting. She's trying to protect her family here. She's worried about them. And it's kind of like what we say. When we say, you know, "Lord, I love you. I love your plans for me. Except when they don't really make sense. Or when they're not good for me." And we see something is up in verse 3. When we look at verse 3 and Naomi's telling her to be secretive, that's pretty much always a bad sign for us. When we're being secretive, that tells us that we're trying to protect our reputations, that we're doing it on our own, and we're usually up to something not good. That being secretive, it's not freeing. It doesn't provide peace. But you know what? Letting God redeem our reputations, that does provide peace. So why not recommend having this conversation like in the middle of the day? You know, in chapter 2, she was working out in the field, gleaning in the field. Why not do that right after that? Maybe over a cup of iced tea, or they can toss back a cold Coca-Cola. That seems a little less risky, right? Maybe a better way to glorify God, but this story, this part of it, it really does. It sounds crazy to me. But I think that we all do this. At some form or fashion, we think, "Hey, I got this idea. I think the Lord's in it, or he should be in it." And we run with it. We get ahead of God. And that's what Naomi's doing here. She sees an opportunity to have a happy family. She thinks this is God's gift to her. This is his chesed love. How much do we do that in our lives? How many times have we done this maybe for our kids or for our family and we think, "Hey, God's in this," but it's really for our reputation. It's really not for God's glory. So when you think about your reputation right now and you look around the room, maybe at the people beside you or your neighbors or your coworkers, what do they think that your reputation is based on? Would they think that you're 100% dependent upon his redemption, upon his rescue, that you trust the Lord? Or would they see maybe that you sometimes need the Lord, but the rest of the time, you're pretty good. You got it. You know, this is a big deal. We also need to be aware of that who we're hanging out with, because who we hang out with, they impact what we think, what we believe. They impact what we think our reputations matter or depend on. And we need godly influencers in our life. We also need to be around unbelievers. Everybody needs Jesus, not just our closest friends. So as we think about some of those questions and what are the answers that we have or what other people would think, we're going to see in the rest of our story now, how does God redeem our reputation? We see in verses 6 and 7 that Ruth, she does exactly what Naomi has instructed her to do. She goes and gets on some nice clothes. She waits till Boaz is a little merry, and then she softly goes and lays down at his feet. And then in verses 8 through 11, we see Boaz's response. And it says that at midnight, the man was startled. He turned over and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." Naomi's plan, it put Boaz at risk. Most men, or at least a lot of men, they would fall to temptation here, but not Boaz. Boaz's reputation, he and it have been redeemed. So he's able to instantly take every thought captive and give that over to the glory of God. So his decisions, his actions are something that is good for God and not something that he'll regret. Boaz is the redeemer in this story. And he points us to the work of Jesus in our lives. Naomi and Ruth, they can trust Boaz, just like we can trust Jesus in our lives. We see in this passage that Ruth, she's really calling on the Lord. And while we may not recognize it, calling on the Lord is our only chance to have freedom. Ruth knows that she needs a redeemer, and she's risking everything for it. Naomi and Ruth's plan, that's put Ruth in a lot of risk too. But Ruth, she doesn't get what she deserves. She's not emotionally or physically abused. She's not taken advantage of. In fact, we're going to see in a few verses that she is actually given grace. She's given gifts and blessings that she did not earn, just like we do when we trust Christ. When we believe in Christ and we let him be our reputation, in the world's eyes, we're putting it all on the line. It's hard to trust in the Lord. It feels risky, whether it is. But it's the only way to freedom that we have. You know, in this story, it wasn't Ruth's dress. It wasn't her efforts. It wasn't her perfume that redeems her. It was God. It was God through Boaz. We see in a little bit here, verse 14, that Boaz, the Redeemer, he makes sure that Ruth's reputation is kept clean. So she lay at his feet until the morning, but rose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." We must trust God for our reputation and not on our own efforts or desires. In the next couple of verses, we see here that Boaz, he's not only faithful, he's generous too. So as we look at verses 15 to 17, he gives her 6 measures of barley. That's like 12 gallons of barley. That's a lot of barley. You know, God is unbelievably generous to us by the gift of Christ in our lives. Well, Boaz, he's making a strong statement here that he's generous. He has, I think, a bigger vision for his work. He lets his work flourish himself. His work flourishes his family, and his work flourishes the city that he's around. We've got to remember that our work, our calling, it's more than a paycheck. It's more than even raising kids and a family. Our work, our vocation gives us purpose. It is how we love our neighbor. It's a part of our sanctification process. It's how we're generous to one another. Our work matters. It matters to our reputations. Are we working for God's glory, or are we working for our glory? We can see in verse 18 that clearly Boaz trusted the Lord for his reputation, and others knew it. Verse 18 says, she replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." You know, in a commentary I read from Sinclair Ferguson, he said this about Boaz. He submits himself to working out the principles of God's law in order that he might allow God's purposes to be filled in God's time. It's clear that we see God's chesed love and kindness through Boaz's actions. Boaz he's the redeemer in this story. But how much better is Christ than Boaz? Christ is the ultimate redeemer. And we see this in our last verse. We look back at verse 9 right now, and it says, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." This is kind of a big illustration for us here. And wings and protection like that, eagle's wings, it's referenced many times in the Bible. It's a great image of protection and safety. It's God's covenant love for his family. And in our story, we see this, it ties directly back to chapter 2, where Boaz tells Ruth, "May you seek refuge. May the Lord bless you to have refuge under Christ's wings." You see, Ruth, in this moment, she knows she needs a redeemer. She knows she needs rescuing. I worry today, because I know I deal with this, that we don't realize that we need rescue. We don't know that. Even when we accept Christ, and we know that he takes our sin and our selfishness and he exchanges that and gives us his righteousness, that we often don't understand that he's redeeming us every day, that it's his Holy Spirit that is applying the gospel truth to us, that as we accept that we repent of our sin, that we believe that we're adopted, we believe in this unconditional love that he gives us. It's then and only then that we can really obey, that his forgiveness, it's not just for that one moment. This is how we become righteous over time, that this is our gospel dance. This is how we repent and we believe and we obey. This is how God gives us a new reputation, one that is freeing, one that is not on our own efforts. It's on just who he is. You know, when I was in my later 20s, I'd had several years to be in my work career and things were going good. I'd been promoted several times, and I had a reputation. I had a reputation for being hardworking, and I got things done. And so I'm sitting there talking to one of my coworkers one time, and he says, "Hey, Pew, what are you doing this weekend?" And I'd just been saved a couple months earlier. And so I said, "Well, I'm going to a men's retreat at my church, and I'll remember this probably forever." He stops what he's doing. He looks over his shoulder at me. And he seems startled, and he says, "Really? Pew, I didn't take you as a churchgoer. You know, 20 years ago, somebody not knowing whether you're in church or not, probably not a big deal. But when somebody thought you didn't go to church, it said a lot about your reputation, a lot about what was coming out of my mouth, about my character. When I think back upon those days, I put my reputation on everything but God." It was the opposite of freeing. But God redeemed me. He's given me a new reputation. He's pulled me under his wings of protection, just like he does everybody that is in his covenant family. And there may be somebody out here right now, maybe somebody that you guys are struggling with that hasn't honored their reputation. Be encouraged. God can redeem you. He can redeem your reputation. All you have to do is ask. There is nothing that you've done or that you will ever do that he can't overcome with his work on the cross. How much better is it to be redeemed, to have my reputation in the hands of Christ, to be protected by his wings, by the creator of the universe, than to try and fail to be righteous on my own? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your work on the cross, that you redeem us, that you redeemed our reputation, that you care for us today, that you actively pursue us, that you give us unconditional love. Lord, help us to trust this. Help us to trust your promises through our work, through our suffering, Lord. We hand it all over to you. It's in your wonderful Son's name that we pray. Amen. So we are, as we prepare our hearts for communion, we're going to hear, the worship team's going to play a song called I Am Redeemed. I'd invite you to meditate and just pray through this.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com, download our mobile app, or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.